your source for everything paranormal. Para-X. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Metaphysical, paranormal, you know, all those things you've been wondering about. Are you ready to go deeper into the realms of the unknown? I hope you've got your walking shoes on, because life is an adventure, and this is the journey. Come on, let's go. Tonight, and we are the She Squatchers coming to you tonight. I'm Jen Cruz, your host, and we've got Jenna Grover and Tammy Trico on with us. Those are my fellow teammates on the She Squatchers team. Hey, Jenna, are you there? Jenna, are you there?
Yes. Hello, y'all from Texas.
Oh boy, she's gathered a new southern accent since she went south for like a week ago.
I know, right? It happened so fast.
And then we've got Tammy Trico. Hey, Tammy, are you there too?
I am, and I could have a southern accent if I wanted.
Where's the Virginia accent? You just got back from Virginia.
Oh, it comes out. Just get me mad. No.
Awesome. Well, so we're back on the air tonight, and we thought we've been getting a lot of questions from people asking more about our team and what we're doing and how we do things differently than perhaps maybe other Bigfoot research teams. So we thought we'd take this opportunity to give a little bit of information about ourselves tonight and what we've done so far on our big journey of looking for Bigfoot. So, let me just give you a quick synopsis of how we began in 2015 with a radio interview right here on the Para-X Radio Network. I interviewed Lauren Coleman, cryptozoologist out from the Bigfoot Museum in Maine, and he had lots of information about Bigfoot. And to be honest with you, I didn't believe in Bigfoot when I first started that interview. I had seen a few episodes of Finding Bigfoot. And that's about it. I didn't know a whole lot about Bigfoot. But through the interview that I had did with Lauren Coleman, he was telling me about how he thought that sending women into the woods without men, dogs, or guns was going to be the recipe for success. So he had all kinds of reasons why he thought that would be. One of them was that all the women who had done the work with the great apes, such as Jane Goodall with the chimpanzees. And he believed that men give off a pheromone that the great apes just don't like. And he thought that would also extend to Bigfoot. So all these things were starting to make sense to me. But one of the things that really caught my attention and I thought was kind of funny was when he said that all of the Bigfoot sightings typically are near a roadside where people are seeing Bigfoot cross the road. It's never a family unit of Bigfoots. It's usually just one, and it's a younger male, just probably stretching his legs, going out into the world to see what's out there, breaking all the rules and going by where the humans are. And he felt that they would naturally be attracted to looking a little closer at some women out there if they didn't have any threatening things with them, such as men, dogs, or guns. So he thought they would naturally be drawn in closer to get a closer look at women. I thought, well, that's a great idea. And during that interview, I jokingly volunteered at the beginning, saying, "Hey there, big boy." But by the end of the interview, I actually volunteered. So, I thought, well, if there's Bigfoot, maybe we'll go find him. But if there isn't, we'll get some good hikes in. Either way, I grew up in the woods, and I love being out there. So either way, I thought it would be a good time. So volunteered, and after that, various women wanted to be on the team, and away we went, and away we went. So through trial and error over the time, we've had people come and go from the team. Jenna's been with us since 2016, right after the first big expedition that we did. She joined the team. Yeah, and then Tammy joined us last summer, and I feel really, really good about our team now. Yeah. Because we get along so well, and we have really a good way of approach at doing it. We're so different than what other research teams are doing. Most of the time, research teams are primarily made up of men. And, you know, they're big, burly guys that can go out into the woods for long periods of time and go deep, deep, dark into the woods. And that's not really our strategy. Our strategy is more using our psychic abilities to see if we can find Bigfoot before we ever get there and narrow down our search so that when we get there, it's kind of a like, surprise, we're here, and try to catch Bigfoot unaware that we were coming. So that's kind of our strategy, and it's been really fun doing different experiments, trying things out with that. The very first time that we went out as a team, I went out and we were looking into a location that there had been a recent Bigfoot sighting. We didn't know exactly where it happened. We knew the lake, and that it was on a boat launch, a public boat launch on this lake. There was only one known public boat launch on this lake, and when I looked at that, I didn't think that was the right place. It just didn't seem right to me, and I was right about that. We didn't find out until a couple months later that was not the location that it was at. It was at a boat launch at an old home, which was no longer even a home there, on the other side of the lake. And the locals knew that they could launch their boat from there, but it wasn't necessarily a public boat launch. Surprisingly enough, the areas that we went in and during the day, and we were driving around this whole lake, and we were selecting areas to go back to in the evening when the sun went down. And there was one particular area that we stopped at that I could feel this energy there that I had never felt before. And when I say I feel an energy there, it wasn't just a good fuzzy feeling. It was a full body sensation. I felt a whole sensation in my whole body. It was a physical sensation. And I took that as, this is a very interesting place. There could be something to this location. And even though we didn't find any footprints there during the day, I marked that as a spot of interest that we needed to return to that night. So we did. We returned to that. And you know, we looked around different places that whole day. And we actually did find some footprints on this little, it's a very small little road, the gravel road, only one car could go on. And you could see that something had, you couldn't see the footprints until you walk. Everybody walked past it, and something told me to turn back around and look again. And as I turned back around and looked at the road, I could see the footprints, but I couldn't see them the other way. And these were very large footprints. There weren't anything that you could cast. They weren't deep like that, but you could just see that they were there and how big they were. And the stride was very, very long. And me being the tallest person on the team, about 5'10"-ish, 5'9", 5'10", I tried to run alongside these and leaping, and I couldn't even come close to matching the stride between these footsteps. So that was very interesting and very shocking to me that we actually found something like that. Again, remember, I didn't necessarily believe in Bigfoot when we first started. So finding something like that on our first try was very shocking to me. But not only that, I mean, we didn't expect to find anything on our first try. We didn't even have casting material or a tape measure, for that matter, things that that Bigfoot researchers should have out and about with themselves. But this was our first try. We didn't really think we were going to find anything, but we did. So later that night, after the sun went down, we came back to the location that I had marked that I wanted to return to with the interesting energy feel. And at that time, we had 5 women on the team that were along, and we all got out of the car. I was the only one who had my equipment ready in hand, Everybody else had their equipment in the back hatch of the vehicle. So one of the teammates had borrowed a thermal camera from someone else, and she didn't know that it could take video. Therefore, I didn't know it could take video. I just knew that if you clicked this particular, it was almost like a trigger on the camera. If you click the trigger, it would take a picture. And so she hands it to me as she goes to get her equipment out of the back of the car, and I step out of the car. And I start scanning the woods with this thermal camera, just looking to see. And now we're on this little road, which is called a Reservation Highway 20. It's not a highway. There's only room for one car to go by. And if you meet another car on this road, good luck, because one of you has to back up. There's just no room for two cars there. And it's completely surrounded by trees. There's no ditch. The trees are right up on the road. Reminds me of the East Coast, where the trees are right up on the road, pretty close to the road, but they're right up on the road. And we're here up in the Midwest, that we have big side areas on the road and ditches where they push the snow. I mean, those are for snow, but out on the East Coast, they don't have that kind of thing. And then the roads are more narrow and the trees are closer to the road. But this was more like a minimum access road, a minimum maintenance road that we were on, even though it was called Reservation Highway 20. So here we are, we're parked on the road, and I'm scanning the woods next to the car, kind of standing at the front corner of the car. And as I'm scanning and I scan out in front of the vehicle, I see on the screen a humanoid shape standing in the road, maybe, 30 feet in front of the car. And it's showing up as a red, body heat temperature. And I immediately assumed that one of my teammates had grabbed her gear and walked out in front of the car. So I said, "Hey, who's in front of the car?" And nobody answered. And so I repeated myself, "Hey, who's out there in front of the car?" Nobody answered. And I continued to ask this question with more anxiety in my voice. And finally, Marlo heard me, and she runs up to the front to see what's going on. And she looked at the area that I was looking at, and she said, "Oh, I just saw eyes." And so I looked up from the screen, because it was so dark out that you couldn't see anything. I mean, you couldn't see anything out there. There was no ambient light whatsoever. So I looked up from the screen to see if I could see eyes out there. And when I looked right back down, I could no longer find this humanoid shape standing there. And I scanned all over and I couldn't find it again. And that was upon getting out of the car at that location. So, I mean, we didn't hoot, we didn't howl, we didn't tree knock, all different things that people normally do when they're out looking for Bigfoot. We just got out of the car at this location where the energy felt different. And so now everybody's got their gear and they're ready. So three of us start going to the left, to the woods to the left, and the other two were meandering about over by the car on the other side. And I'm not quite sure what they were doing themselves, but the three of us were over to the left, and we started to walk into the woods, maybe three or four steps, and all of a sudden, there's rocks coming down from the trees above, and you can hear them, the rocks falling through the trees, falling down, and they're bouncing on the ground about 3-4 feet in front of us. We're watching these stones hit the ground and bounce. And no, they were not acorns. They were stones, little rocks, maybe the size of a 50-cent piece or a silver dollar. It was very, very obvious that they were not trying to hit us with it. They were not trying to hit us. But it was more like, it felt like, "Don't walk this way. We don't want you to go this way," is how I felt about it. So we just kind of stopped, and we were taking, I'm like, "Is that rocks?" And sure enough, another one would come down and bounce, and we'd see very clearly it was rocks. So we kind of backed up from that area, and then we walked over in front of the vehicle, and we were standing maybe about 50 feet in front of the car with the rest of our teammates now. And so one of them decides she's going to do a Bigfoot howl, and so she whoops. And we're all quiet, waiting to hear if anybody whoops back. And all of a sudden, we start hearing something walking towards us from the what would be the right side of the car into the woods out there. Not from the left where the rocks were. And we hear something large walking towards us, and it's definitely bipedal, using 2 feet, and it's snapping sticks as it's going, big sticks. You can tell it's something very large. And so now we're pointing all of our cameras out into the woods towards this noise. Now, we had night vision cameras. We had thermal cameras. We had all kinds of different cameras that can see in the dark, and we couldn't see anything out there. And these trees were, you know, very, it's a big woods, but Minnesota, where we were at, had been logged almost completely by the settlers in the late 1800s to early 1900s. So the trees out there, you know, they're tall trees, but they're not very wide trees. And so there's not really wide enough that you could hide behind something of size coming at you. You know, a bunny could hide for sure, but something walking towards us wouldn't have been able to hide. A deer wouldn't have been able to hide. Something was coming towards us and we couldn't see it. So, you know, one of the things that we did in the end, we were trying to see what's there. We took our super duper flashlights and lit up the woods. And still we could see nothing there, and still it's coming, and you can hear it. It's getting closer. And we didn't really know what to do. I was standing there going, I don't know what else to do. I thought we would be able to see it. And we couldn't see it. And all of a sudden it seemed like a switch got thrown or something. And all of a sudden we could hear something coming towards us from different directions. Now, we were getting different ones of the same thing. It sounded like the same noise. But now it was coming from different directions all at the same time. And the five of us, we circled up with our backs together facing out. And we had never talked about what we would do if we felt like we were in trouble. And so for a moment, I just kind of looked at us and thought, well, this is good. This is, we didn't talk about this, but this is good. We're back to back, you know, facing out. This is good. And I felt kind of proud of us for doing that automatically. But maybe that's what people do when they're kind of scared. And here we go. And we're not really sure what to do because something's coming and we can't see it. We're looking all over. We can't see it. So all of a sudden, one of the teammates says, Jen, do your tobacco thing. Now, we were on Native American reservation and an Ojibwe reservation. And I'm part Ojibwe. My mom is actually a member of the Red Lake Band of Ojibwe Indians in northern Minnesota. And even though we weren't on the Red Lake Reservation, we were on a different one, but it was still Ojibwe. I took out the tobacco that I had in my pocket and I put it into my left hand and I started to do a prayer and an offering of tobacco in the Ojibwe language. And as soon as I said, I called out to the little people of the forest and I with Miigwech, Meimeigweishig, and then I called out and with a thanks to Bigfoot. I said, Miigwech, Kichisabe, which is basically, thank you, Bigfoot. And as soon as I said that, all of the movement stopped. All of the movement stopped. There was no retreating away, walking away. It was just like gone. And nothing was still walking towards us. There was no more movement. And, you know, we just kind of stood there, not knowing what else to do. And one of my teammates says, okay, well, maybe we should go down the road and check where we found those footprints earlier today. And I said, okay, yeah, that's a good idea. And so we jumped in the car and we left. So here we're having actual, you know, something's really going on here. And we were dumbfounded on what to do. We didn't have a clue what to do. And we're like, yeah, let's leave. Okay, good idea. And we all jumped in the car and we left. Some of the girls were more freaked out than others and were refusing to get out of the car again. And they were very, very traumatized by it because they were very scared. And you know, they were seasoned paranormal investigators who openly said that this is way scarier than anything they'd ever done in a paranormal investigation. It was way scarier because there was something real, solid coming at us in the woods and we can't see it. And it was big. So, I mean, yeah, that was kind of scary, I admit. So, but it didn't stop me from wanting to get back out of the car and keep looking. You know, I wanted to know more. But in the moment that they said, let's go check out that other spot, I was all for that because I didn't know what else to do. So in hindsight, girls, what, you know, you two weren't along on that trip, but what are some of the things maybe you would have done differently if you were along? Anything?
I think I would have definitely stayed there longer and not asked you to say, thank you, Bigfoot. I would have loved to be there. I really wish I would. What about you, Tammy?
Well, you know, since we saw that one, had that one experience up in the mountains, I'm thinking I'd probably been like, take a picture, draw a video.
Right?
But I had audio going. We couldn't see anything.
But right. You know what?
If I had the FLIR, you could have.
And that's the thing.
We had a baby FLIR. It wasn't the kind of FLIR we have now. It wasn't as high quality, and it wasn't picking anything up there. Not in the woods like that. But the next day, when we went back, it was funny because we had breakfast, and some of the team members didn't want to go back. I said, we need to go back and look at that area to see if there's any footprints there. At where the sound was coming from. We need to go back there. Some of them didn't want to go. I'm like, listen, we can't be Bigfoot researchers and not go check this out. We have to go. We're just like 10 minutes up the road from here. We need to go look at this. So with much hesitation, some of them agreed to come along. And so we went back, and I mean, it was funny because some of them wouldn't even walk into the woods. So they were still really freaked out from the night before, and here we are in the morning, in the daylight. So it was definitely something that freaked people out, and they were scared. we didn't actually get to actually look in that one spot that I really wanted to look for Bigfoot, because the majority of the team was there with one vehicle that had come from a different location from where I came from. And so they were all riding in one car, and that person decided it's time to go home now. And they all had to leave, and then that left me. And we had made rules for the team that nobody goes into the woods alone, blah, blah, blah. So when they drove away, I had gotten in my car, and I was going to drive away. And I was like, no, this is dumb. It's right there. I'm just going to go look. So I was there by myself, and I got out of the car. And I'm walking out to where that sound was coming from the night before, and all of a sudden I realized that I felt like I was in a trance-like state, and I was seeing this golden, it seemed like there was a path that was almost lit up with a little slight little golden hue, and I could see where I was supposed to walk, and there was two sticks that were crossed, and I could see the path went right underneath the cross of those sticks, and went back beyond it. And as I was walking that way, I had a memory in my head that just screamed at me, because I was hearing this in my head. I was hearing this sing-songy voice going, Jennifer, Jennifer, like calling me that way. It was the weirdest thing. And then I realized I'm in a trance-like state and I'm getting called to walk this way. What's calling me? And I immediately stopped and I shook my head and got a little scared that how am I in a trance-like state and what's calling me to walk this way? So I ran back to the car and I pulled my car up as close as I could get to the line of sight of that path, opened my window. I felt pretty safe, started taking pictures. And in my pictures, I could see the path, and behind the path where it was leading to, you could see the woods was circles within circles within circles in the woods. And what was interesting to me is that I couldn't see that with my naked eye, but in several pictures, I could see it that way. So, I didn't stop and take a look at the pictures as I was taking them, so I didn't see this until later, of course. But I knew what circles within circles within circles meant on petroglyphs, which are ancient rock carvings that Native Americans did. If you see a rock carving that is circles within circles or a spiral, that's how they drew a portal. And the native stories from our tribe says that Bigfoot travels through portals or tunnels in the ground that instantaneously take them from one place to another. And I had heard these stories. Now, again, I don't necessarily believe in everything that I hear, but I definitely put it into my mystery bag until I see something for myself that makes me believe that that's true or not. But I was aware of that. So here we have right where that sound had been coming from the night before, I was seeing that there was these circles within circles within circles today, and that's where I felt called to walk to. So it was a very interesting thing, and that could actually explain why we couldn't see anything, but we could hear something walking towards us. What do you think of that, what do you think of that, girls?
Go ahead, Tammy.
Oh, well, I mean, yeah, if they were on the other side of the portal, then you wouldn't be able to see them, probably. It was my experiences with them anyway. It's you can't see them until they actually come through the portal, any entities. So I think that would make sense that you could hear, but that you couldn't see them.
Yeah. Pretty fun stuff. Pretty fun stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I was hooked. I was hooked.
It doesn't take much. When we start finding things, you get immediately hooked. I mean, you just want to find more and more and more because you're out there looking for the truth. And you know what? You get little pieces and then you want to put them all together. So we're continuously trying to fit those pieces together. And yeah, there's so much more we're going to find in the future. I can't wait.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you want to walk just a little bit further down the path.
Right.
Further in the woods, a little bit further. There's got to be something right up there.
Right.
Oh. So then the next really fun thing that happened for the team, Jenna and I and Nikki were out doing a scouting mission, and we were up on the Red Lake Indian Reservation in Minnesota. And I was up there doing some work for the tribe, and so we were doing some scouting missions after I'd get off of work in the day, and Jenna had come along so that we could do this as a team, and Nikki was living up there, so she lived up there. And so we'd go out, and we'd check some places out, and we'd gone to this old gravel pit that was no longer being used as a gravel pit. And I don't know how long it had been since it hadn't been used as a gravel pit, but the locals would use that for target practice because they could shoot their guns and not have to worry about a stray bullet because it would just hit the side of the gravel pit down in the pit. Well, apparently there had been a report of a woman and a man who had been down there doing target practice, and she described what she thought was a monkey came jumping out at her and yelling at her. And she automatically assumed that a monkey had escaped from a zoo somewhere. So she called to report that she had seen the missing monkey. And there was no missing monkey from anywhere. So nobody knew what she was talking about. But apparently this was a pretty credible witness. So we decided we would go check out this gravel pit. So we were there for a while, and we were looking at here and there, and we did find some trackways where lots of different animals and critters were going, and we did find something that looked like Bigfoot footprints running through a very high traffic area. But I really felt like there's way too much traffic here for us to be really this sure. I'd like to find something better than, you know, more clear than this. And so our next idea was to go up the road maybe 20 miles, I think. It was 10 or 20 miles up the road, I think, was the next location to an area on the reservation I had never been to before. And so we get in the vehicle, and Nikki's driving, and I open my awareness. Now, again, I'm a psychic medium, animal communicator, and remote viewer, and I'm also an energy worker, so I feel energy is a physical thing. And my focus that day was on finding Bigfoot, so, you know, I'm trying to tune into Bigfoot energies, and that's what I'm asking to find. And so as she's driving up the road about 55 miles an hour, I yelled out, "Stop the car!" Because I felt that same energy that I felt at that place at the other reservation when I felt that interesting energy feel. I felt that same energy at this as we were driving past this woods. And I felt it pull me to the right. And I said, "I think there's something back in that woods back there. We need to turn around and get back in the woods there somehow." I didn't know if there was a way to get in there or not. We just turned around and went looking, and sure enough, there was. And we're halfway through the show, so we're going to take a break and come back with the rest of that story. So stay tuned, everybody.
Hi.
This is Barry Fitzgerald from GHI, and you're listening to the Para-X Radio Network.
In order for the light to shine so brightly, the darkness must be present. Tune in every Monday at 10 o'clock for Dark Sun Rising on the Para-X Radio Network.
What happens to a ghost when their home is torn down? No one thinks of the disembodied when they rip down old buildings, dig up cemeteries, and build clean, unhauntable condos. Every year, hundreds of spirits are driven out of their own haunts by the careless living to exist alone with no one to scare. At Para-X Radio, our hosts feel the plight of these evicted disembodied, and we're reaching out to you to please open your heart to one of these lost souls, such as the ghost soldier of the General Wayne Inn or the abandoned spirit cat of Benjamin Rush. So please, please, let a little spooky into your life. Won't you open your house to a ghost without a home?
Para-X.
It is the secret of the world that all things subsist and do not die, but only retire a little from sight and afterwards return again. Nothing is dead. People find themselves dead and endure the mock funerals and mournful obituaries. And there they stand, looking out the window, sound and well, in some new and strange disguise. This secret must be told to the world, and they must tell it. Because they're not dead, we know this, and we'll prove it. So join Mike and Dave every Monday night at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central for the Odyssey Files. Only on Para-X.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. I'm Jen Cruz, and this is the Journey Radio Show. When we are not live on the air, you can find us at thejourneyradioshow.com or, hey, we're the She Squatchers, and check us out online at shesquatchers.com. And right there, you're going to find links to our Facebook page. Go ahead and give us a click on there and give us a like, and that's where we post most of our up-to-date information is on Facebook. So please follow us there for all the recent updates and cool information going on. So we were in the middle of the story about when Jenna and I and Nikki were out looking for Bigfoot up on the Red Lake Indian Reservation in Minnesota. And as the She Squatchers, we're driving down the road at 55 miles an hour. And I feel that energy, that same full body sensation that I felt before at that location where we had found that, what we believe to be a portal. And I felt that energy as we were driving 55 miles an hour, and it pulled me to the right. So I yelled, "Stop the car, go back, there's something back there." And so I know Nikki said, "What do you mean?" You know, there was a little bit, "What are you talking about?" And we turned our car around, we went back, we found an area where we could pull in, and behind that woods right there, we found a gravel pit, which we didn't even know was there. And we pull up in there, and right away we see these footprints going up the side of this gravel pit hill that is so steep, it was crazy. And these footprints were huge. And, it's hard to imagine how steep this hill was, but when Jenna and Nikki tried to climb up next to these footprints, they were climbing on their hands and knees, you know, basically hands and feet, climbing on all fours, and they would take a step and they would slide back down. So they weren't making like headway. It was very difficult for them to crawl up. They were crawling up this hill. It was so steep, and it was gravel, so you'd slide back down. But the footprints that we had found was a whole trackway going all the way to the top. There was a distance between each track, and they weren't using their hands. They were walking straight up, and I can't imagine the strength of the being that did that. Now, we went up and we measured these footprints and the trackway, and, you know, the largest, what it was, I think, 24 inches, but it was sliding, and it had five toes. The smallest was 18 inches long, which is a huge footprint, and we had showed this to Bobo from Finding Bigfoot. We showed him pictures of the hill. We showed him all of that. And he said, "Whoa, that is a steep hill. A man could not have done that without using his hands. And it couldn't have been a bear not because it would have had to double step all the way up, and it that just isn't possible all the way up this tall hill. He said that had to be a Squatch. It had to be. So he was very confident that they were Bigfoot footprints. So from, you know, James Bobo Fay from Finding Bigfoot, that was really awesome when we got to hang out with him at one of the conventions that we were at and showed him this. He was really confident that we had actually found Bigfoot footprints. It was very cool. We did attempt to take castings of those footprints, but what we quickly learned is taking footprint casts in gravel pits is not very easy, and they don't turn out very well. So our cast didn't turn out very well, but we did get some pointers from other Bigfoot researchers at conventions of different things that maybe we could try to get some type of a better print out of a gravel pit, because everybody agrees it's a very difficult thing to get a good print cast out of a gravel pit. But we were very excited that we found these prints. Very, very excited. Now, what was interesting is when Jenna got to the top of the hill, she climbed up there and she saw, because I'm like, where do the footprints go? Where do they go? I didn't actually climb this hill. This hill was a crazy hill, by the way. It was crazy. I stayed at the bottom. And the pictures that we have of this, you know, that Jenna took from the top, I look pretty little standing at the bottom. But she said the footprints just disappeared, and what was there instead at the top? Jenna, why don't you tell us what was there at the top?
Well, when I got to the top, I felt this kind of nagging little urge to turn around, and I turned around, and there were circles, and I couldn't understand because these footprints went straight up and they completely ended, and then there was flat. It was a hill, and all of a sudden the hill turned into a flat surface, and there was three circles. Now, we have pictures out on our website of the circles, so you should really take a look at those because they really, really, really look neat. They're almost circles within circles. It was almost as if someone, we were wondering if maybe it was some kind of energy or something. We were wondering what could have created it. We talked about frequency, if maybe frequency could have done it, but it was just really strange because these circles were just there, and the different branches and different little things that were growing from the ground, which wasn't very much, mind you, because this was sand, they were basically twisted on the ground. They were literally circled onto the ground. So they were literally twisted as something just twisted them around, and they were flat. So it was really, really incredible. And had I not had that feeling, I would have probably never turned around to even look at it. But yeah, it was kind of that nagging little feeling like, hey, you know what? And I just thought, yeah, I got to turn around. So it was really neat. And then I said, Jen, I got to take these pictures. Just look. She was excited.
And the footprints didn't go down anywhere else. They just disappeared at the circles.
Mm-hmm. They disappeared. In fact, there was no footprints anywhere else up on top of that sand hill. It was really incredible because, yeah, it went from footprints, no footprints, to circles. Three. So three seems to be a magic number in a lot of different situations.
And the, you know, from the pictures, you can see that there's circles that within circles, within circles, within circles in the sand. So, and they were perfect circles. That was the really bizarre thing. So you'll have to check that out on our website and what's under video and something, a subcategory under what we found in Minnesota. So you'll have to check that out. So that was really cool. And again, we followed something to what ended up as circles within circles. So this was intriguing to us. What do you think of that, Tammy, the circles?
Well, I guess it would depend on how far apart they were. You know, if they were three sets of them, you know, people could argue that maybe there was also aliens there. So it could have been landing here for an alien ship.
That could be. We've been talking to Angelia Shear from Tennessee MUFON, and she's been doing some really interesting things with cross-referencing what she calls crossover events, where there's Bigfoot sightings and UFO sightings at the same time in the same place. And we're going to have her on the show sometime real soon because we really want to share that information with you. And she would share that the best because she's the one researching that and looking into those cases.
Oh, yeah. She's not only going to share that. She's amazing. Her descriptions are on top. She is so informational. I mean, she knows her stuff. Isn't she the director of MUFON?
In Tennessee, she is, yes.
In Tennessee, okay.
Yeah, I think she's the executive.
She also has Parashear Research.
Yes, Parashear Research. We had a really fun time hanging out with her in Tennessee at the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference, and we've been asked to come back and speak at the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference again this year in October, so we'll be going back there for all you in Tennessee, so come back out and see us because we're going to have a lot more fun. Oh, so we should talk about the remote viewing a little bit when we found the stick structure, and let's cover that real quick because then I want to talk about what happened in Tennessee too when we were all together there. So again, we'd like to use our psychic abilities to see if we can use that as an advantage to finding Bigfoot instead of having to walk for hours and weeks on end into the deep dark woods.
It's not that we're lazy. It's just easier.
It's easier. And I tell you what, we seem to find things quickly. And we don't necessarily have to be that far from a road. You know, maybe it's not a very good road. Maybe it's not something you'd want to drive a brand new car down. But something you could still drive down. So, you know, that we're maybe, you know, when we remote viewed and I found an area that was showing up in the remote view. And let me just give you a quick description of what I'm calling geographic remote viewing. I'm looking at satellite imagery, either from Google Earth or Google Maps. I'm looking at an area from above on satellite imagery. And I'm asking, is Bigfoot here, as I'm scanning maps from above, you know, and then satellite imagery maps. Is Bigfoot here? Show me, please show me Bigfoot if Bigfoot's here. Is there any Bigfoot evidence that we could find here, that we could collect here? And then what I see on the map or on the image changes according to the answer to my question. If there's something there, I see something there. I see a Bigfoot face there. And I see the face, and it's kind of cool that way because sometimes I'll see a Bigfoot face that looks friendly, and sometimes I'll see a Bigfoot face that looks mean and aggressive. And kind of scary. And that gives me an idea what kind of Bigfoot that is and do we really want to go there. So in this particular case, I saw a big Bigfoot face. He looked very aggressive and mean, made me feel scared. And I believe that the whole area that was covering where his huge face was his territory. And then about 200 feet from that, I had an area that was lighting up a golden light in response to the question, is there any Bigfoot evidence in here that we could collect? I didn't actually ask what kind of Bigfoot evidence it was. It was just showing me the area, and it was quite a large area that was lighting up. And so we went there. There was that looked to be a trail that kind of ran between the two places. I hoped it was a drivable trail, but I couldn't tell because it was barely seeable on from above. So, you know, there's all these trees. You're hoping that you can drive on this, and you're not sure until you get there. And so we found the trail, we got there, we found the trail, and we're driving it. Did scratch up my car pretty good because it was an old logging trail that the local Native Americans had made to go back and collect some lumber. It wasn't from the logging crews. So, I mean, this was local people that were making these little trails back into the woods. And so, yeah, we scratched up my car a little bit driving back there. And I have my phone open with the satellite imagery, and they were showing up as a blue dot driving down this trail. But I was able to see where we were in relation to those areas that I had seen in the remote view. And so I said, stop the car right here. And so we stopped the car. I said, if you get out of the car here to the right, you're going to see, you know, about 100 feet is where that giant Bigfoot, aggressive Bigfoot was that I was feeling scared of. And if we get out of this car to the left here and go straight out into the woods within 100 feet is what's showing up as Bigfoot evidence that we could collect. So I had my things ready. We were ready to go. Jenna wasn't ready.
But hey, now.
Now that we're always going to be ready when we get out of the car. We're going to have our equipment ready to go. And so as I was waiting for her, I was looking to the right. And I was looking to see, could I see anything back there? I wasn't necessarily going to walk back there, but I did take a couple steps, and all of a sudden there were rocks coming down from the trees above me. I've had rocks before, but it was dark out then. Today, at that day, it was still light out. So I was like, holy cow, rocks in the daytime? Really? And I was trying to see if I could see where they were coming from or who was throwing them. And I didn't see who was throwing them. And then all of a sudden I heard Nikki say, there's something back there. She's seeing something to the left of the car. So I go, I'm like, duh, stay away from the aggressive male. Go to where the Bigfoot evidence is that we can collect. So I run over to the other side and I start looking there and I'm seeing something moving back there. And I'm like, oh my gosh, we got to go. So I'm like, come on, Jenna, come on. And she's talking to Nikki and I'm like, come on, Jenna. And I actually got kind of rude with her.
Yes, you did. Thank you.
Because I was now walking towards this area. And I'm seeing movement back there, and I'm walking there by myself. I'm like, now, let's go.
But, you know, I have to say, Jen, this was all in, and you guys have to understand, this was all in like 10 to 15 seconds that this was happening, because Jen was just like, Jenna, come on, Jenna, come on. I'm not, you know, and I was just like, just a minute. So poor Jen. I mean, and like I said, this happened all really, really fast, but I did get my stuff together and I did get over there with you. So
it's
a learning curve.
It felt like slow motion to me.
Yes, I know.
I was so pumped because I'm like, we are going to catch this on video because there was stuff walking around back there. I'm like, we got to get back there right now. Anyway, so we get back there and we find this huge stick structure that was den-like and it had towers and there was a woven fence that was 8 to 10 feet tall, but at the time, we didn't even notice that this was a woven fence. We were just moving the sticks to get back there because we were so focused on looking at the tower structure that was right there. We weren't even paying attention to the fence that we were tearing apart.
We had like focal, just a little bit of vision.
Yeah, yeah. It was so exciting and so overwhelming at the same time, and it was quite the adventure. And I'd love to tell you all a lot more about that, but I do also want to tell you about our Tennessee trip, too. So we're not going to go into whole lots of details on that, except for Jenna went inside the structure, hashtag Jenna goes inside.
If you have been to any of our events or have listened to us speak at any of these events or on the radio, you know exactly what that means, hashtag Jenna goes inside. I can't believe you did that, Jen. Oh, Lordy.
Love you, Jenna.
Love you, too.
Oh, it's funny. It's all good fun. Anyway, so Jenna went inside of this thing, and I couldn't believe she wanted to. It was crazy. But then she went inside there, I wanted to get far enough away so I could take a picture of the whole thing from the side, because it was absolutely huge. And I had to get pretty far away to get actually the whole thing in there. And so I had Jenna standing there next to it. And she had a GoPro on her forehead. She was wearing a GoPro. And it was blinking this red light. And so in the pictures and in the video, I can see how big the structure is in comparison to Jenna's 5'5" standing there with the blinking red light on her forehead. And I got a certain amount of a little ways away. And I couldn't get the whole structure in there. So I had to get further away and I'm walking a particular way. And all of a sudden there's rocks coming down from the trees. And so I stopped and I'm like, well, that sounded like a rock. Was that a rock? And then another one came down. I'm like, oh, it was. So I'm like, okay, what is this message is not to walk this way. So I decided to walk around it and I did the different way just to get farther away. So that seemed to be okay. But I got far enough away to get a picture of a lot more of the structure and Jenna standing there with her 5'5"-ness with the blinking red light on her forehead. And then all of a sudden I kind of felt scared all of a sudden that it was time to leave. I had this feeling, overwhelming feeling, that we had overstayed our welcome and it was time to leave. And so I decided, okay, we need to go. And I'm not even going to walk back to Jenna. We're both just going to walk to the trail from where we are because the trail was parallel to where we were. And so I just start walking back through the woods directly to where the trail would be, where we had, you know, that we had parked on. And told Jenna to go back to the trail too. But as I'm walking through there, I'm noticing that these sticks here are weaved together here, and I'm really far away from the structure where we came in. And they're weaved together here, and that's when I kind of realized this is a fence, and it's fenced all the way over here. And I really kind of got freaked out at that moment, and I'm like busting through trying to get onto the trail to where the car is at, because I was really freaked out at that time. And we got back to the car, and we started driving away, and the sun started to go down. So I mean, it was time to go. It was time to go, definitely. But it was definitely a fun day. Then that we found that, and it was so incredible. And everybody said it couldn't have been a hunter, because up there they don't hunt, they don't build things like that up there. They don't do hunting blinds, because on the reservation they actually hunt from the back of trucks with somebody driving and somebody shooting from the back end of the truck. And we had seen that before when we were up there with the hunters doing that. And nobody would ever try to conceal themselves that close to a drivable trail like that. And this was much too of an extensive den-like structure. It was huge, and it was just amazing. Anyway, so there was that. And then we went to Tennessee last October, which was really, really fun. And I'm just giving a couple of highlights of different things that were like some of our most fun times. And so we went to the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference, and they did a Bigfoot expedition. Could you girls tell me a little bit about the daytime expedition you guys went on with Matthew Dell from Micro?
Tammy, why don't you take this?
Well, we met, he had a group of people that were going out there, and he invited us to go along with him. And so we went to the top of this mountain, or we got out, and he had an area that he had been to before that Matthew wanted to share with everybody. And we walked back in there, and I don't know, we probably walked a good mile anyway back in there. And he brought us to an area where they had previously collected some hair. And Jenna looked really closely at the tree while he was talking to the group of people, and she found some more hair. So we got to collect a specimen from there, and you know, she collected it properly and used what we had and taped one, because we got, I had a hair follicle on it, so we got a hair follicle. And we went through there, and, you know, continuously me, I want to go a little bit further. I want to see what's over that ridge. I want to see what's around that corner. There's got to be something coming up. And so we went down a little bit farther, and I had wandered off a little bit and found an X structure. It was huge, and it was not just an X, but it was, like, bent down. It was really cool. I think we have pictures of that on our website, too. And so we were, you know, I was interested, and I'm like, oh, let's go look at this and everything. And I actually found some a bare spot of earth, and I was like, that's really weird in the woods, you know, with pine needles and tree dead leaves and everything in the fall. I looked, and there were some crystals in the ground right there in this bared earth. So that was very interesting for me, and so I collected a couple of crystals. And then we decided that we were going to have to come back at night, because there was more areas to cover, and we only got to cover about half of it. But it was very exciting, and Matthew was very knowledgeable.
So the girls gave me the coordinates of the – I didn't go along on the day trip, because I was actually suffering from bronchitis and didn't think hiking in the – at the top of a mountain would be quite easy for me with my bronchitis. So they sent me the GPS coordinates, and I started remote viewing the areas that they were at. And I was seeing Bigfoot around there. So I was like, ooh, we need to go back there tonight. So we had dinner. We went up there, just the four of us. It was us three girls and Matthew Delph. And when we parked the car at the top of this mountain, I pulled out my phone to look at the satellite imagery and do a quick remote view of what's going on right now, what's here right now. And I started to see what appeared to be a Bigfoot about 30 feet from our car. So we get out of the car, and I'm like, let's look over here. And Tammy grabs the FLIR thermal camera, because it was dark out now. We can't see with our own eyes. So she points the FLIR over there, and sure enough, there's something there. And I see Ceiling Cat from the chat room. She's asking if I also use Google Earth Photos. I actually do use that kind of thing. to do remote views, I do use Google Earth and satellite imagery from Google Maps. So, and it really works quite well for me. And it's just a way to focus on a particular area. And I'm really excited to do a lot more in the moment remote viewing. If I can access the information from my phone where we are in the woods, that I think that'll work really good in the future. So I'm looking forward to winter being over so we can do more of that. So even if it's dark, we can maybe go, okay, there's Bigfoot that way. Point your night stuff over there. because we got six minutes of video of something sitting over there that has what looks like a conal shaped head and fur all over, digging in the ground. And it appears to look like a Bigfoot. So you can go to our YouTube channel, which is She Squatchers Official, and look for the Tennessee Bigfoot Night Expedition video, and you'll find that there. So that was pretty cool. And we only have 1 minute of the show left, I think.
Oh, goodness.
It goes so fast.
We have 3 minutes left. I'm looking at different clocks doing different times on my house here.
by the way, hi, Kat. Hey, everybody in the chat room.
Yeah. It's we have so many different things to share. I feel kind of rushed trying to give you a synopsis of some of our most fun times and exciting times that we've had. But there's been so many different things that we experienced that we couldn't possibly tell you all of them in an hour. But but there's a little synopsis of some of the cool things, that weird, odd, strange things that we've experienced that were just really life-changing for me, really. Really exciting. Can't wait to do more. If we could get paid to do this would be great, because we'd have a lot more fun. We'd be out there a lot more than we are now, that's for sure.
Doggone it, you are right, girl. It's expensive doing this, though, you know, but it's a lot of fun, and it's worth it. We get out there and, you know, especially with all three of us, we are really good together, and we each have our strong points, and boy, it's a good time, you guys.
Yeah, I'm really happy with our team. Really happy with our team. We do good. We do well together. And we have fun, too, along the way. And funny things happen, and, you know, we laugh along the way. And I think that's always important, too.
Yeah, thanks.
A lot of adventure.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much for tuning in. And please check us out next week at 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern on the ParaX Radio Network or thejourneyradioshow.com. Thanks, everybody. We're the She Squatchers signing out.
Night.